we enter into the sacred. In number 81, these were the last teachings of Lao Tzu in the Tao Te Ching. I want you to hear them now, while we are not at the end of our work on the Tao. I want you to hear these things so the rest of our work has more significance to you. You see, the reason that a lot of what I have offered you, a lot of what Lao Tzu has offered us, means very little or is confusing to you, it's because you have no virtue in you. You have not cultivated virtue. If you can admit that intelligence is not a product of thinking, of thought, then you will find that thinking has no real importance in your life. You will start to understand the ultimate truth. Virtue will become very important to you. Virtue is your goodness. It is the intent of goodness. So, when we read, true words are not pleasing. Pleasing words are not true. Those who are right do not argue. Those who argue are not right. Those who know are not learned. Those who are learned do not know. Let's just take that much for now. If you can hear what he is saying, you will understand true intelligence. This is something that has eluded you all of your life, and you have replaced it with cheap philosophy, thoughts. Thoughts that are shortcuts to your desires. And you have missed. This is a very important thing to admit to myself. This is very difficult. Most people cannot deal with it. When they hear words, they have to be pleasing to the ego. They have to be pleasing to vanity and pride. When true virtue has established itself within us, true goodness, the intent and the devotion, the reverence for goodness, which cannot be defined. It is not something that you can learn. You either have it or you don't. You either cultivate it or you don't. And then, if you don't, then all you hear is my words. You don't hear what is the song behind the words, the rhythm, the beauty. True words are not pleasing. Pleasing words are not true. All great teachers, all great masters struggle with this with students. They tried to help in every way, shape, and form. Jesus tried it every way, shape, and form. The Beatitudes being the most beautiful of all of his teachings, condensed into simple words. But they are totally misunderstood. And then people like to argue. Well, what about this? And what about? I get that all the time. All the pushback from my students. Because they're unintelligent. They have no virtue in them. The reason you are lonely and afraid, the reason you do the things you do that are obstinate to the practice is because you're afraid. You're afraid of the changes that could be made. You are easily insulted. One day or another, you're going to come to the fact of your living, that you, through all the things you've said and done, realize that you are absolutely mentally ill, crazy. That you have done things in the sense of harshness, not in the sense of love. You will realize this one day. That will become the goodness of you, the virtue of you, if you don't argue, if you don't get insulted. You will realize, oh, that's all it is? That's all it is. People like to believe that true words will wipe away the false. And in a way they will, but they also cause great controversy and problems. Are you arguing with me as you are hearing these discourses? I'll bet you are. I will be very surprised if you weren't fighting every word that you heard, every word that I utter to you in session work, in discourses, in workshops, in retreats. Because true words are not pleasing. I was reading a little insight about Socrates, who I deeply admire. A prostitute, one of the most famous of Athens, once came to Socrates. And a few people were just sitting there. Very few. Just as there are few people that sit before me when I am doing any work. And Socrates was talking to these people about the virtue of the way. The prostitute looked around and said to Socrates, "Why? Why such a great man like you and only a few people listening to you? I had thought the whole of Athens would be here. I don't see the most respectable of our society, the most honored of politicians, the priests, the intellectuals. I don't see them here. What is the matter?" "Come," Socrates said. "Come to your heart and don't worry about those who are not there. You are right." He said to the prostitute, "You cater to universal demand. I don't. I attract only a few, a chosen few. Others cannot realize my fragrance, my music. They are a void. They are a void of anything that is goodness. Even if they come across me by accident, they become afraid when they hear my words. They become angered. They're of a totally different essence." Well, this prostitute must have been of tremendous intelligence. She looked into the eyes of Socrates and bowed down and said, "Please accept me as one of your friends." This is a very interesting story. It's the same as Mary Magdalene. And what a beautiful woman she was to drop her life for the sake of the goodness that lived within her. Sometimes we have to do a lot of crazy things before we can realize the goodness, the virtue of our nature. It's the way human beings are. It is very important to understand understand the nature of how we work on the inside. I had a student who looked at me recently after reading the journal that he had written. Every quarter I give journal questions to my students. They hate them. Some of them won't answer them because their pride, their vanity, the way they have lived is just too revealing to show them exactly how they have missed. They don't have the beauty of compassion, forgiveness, mercy for themselves. This is the great virtue. And if I don't have this for my deep inner process, I can only take offense. And what I will do is I will transfer that offense onto the teacher. I won't look at it and say, oh, I realize I know not what I do. Great truth is a pathless land. There's no way to walk it. You must live it. You must become it. A person cannot understand the truth by thinking it. Thinking destroys everything. By the time I get done thinking about a truth, it has been destroyed. It is that gap, that pause between what I will do and what I won't do. It is in there that the fragrance of love begins to emerge. Beyond the senses of the stench of Gregory and his own thoughts. True words are not pleasing, as Lao Tzu said. They don't cater to the ego. They don't camouflage themselves to be truth. They are the truth. True words are not easy to hear because we have given ourselves over to the worst part of ourselves, the part that has no virtue. And when we hear pleasing words, we come to that place where we think we are being comforted. We're not so bad. It's not a matter of being bad. It's a matter of being interested in the truth. True words. And those who are of this ilk to understand the truth of the teachings, let's say of the Tao, they don't argue. If you are right within yourself, not right in theory, but if you are in the posture of rightness, not the right that is over the wrong, not the petty stuff that we like to get involved in. What Lao Tzu means when he says those who are right do not argue, they're in alignment. They're in an alignment for their virtue. And they don't argue because they realize. The person who is humble enough to realize, as Mary Magdalene did, as this prostitute that came to Socrates did, they don't argue. They realize. They know. They are not generally learned people. Those who are learned are prideful. They cannot understand. They can only make up thoughts. They are more enamored with their thoughts than they are in the humility that would bring them to a deeper understanding. Blessed are the meek, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit. These are attributes that come only when a person is ready. Ready to take the next step inward. And is not willing to argue. They want to put themselves in alignment with the truth. That is what Lhotse meant when he said, "And those who are right do not argue." They're in alignment. This is a very beautiful thing to come into. Now thinking is no longer necessary. Intelligence comes in the form of non-thinking, no mind. And if you can admit to yourself that true intelligence is not a product of any thought you may have ever had, then you will realize thinking is not important. Desire, ambition, and pride is not important. The affection of others is not important. The desire to be loved is not important. The realization that you are love is essential. We must live in this kind of intelligence. That's why Lhotse says, those who are right, aligned, do not argue. And those that argue are not in alignment. Alignment with the Tao. And those who are of the knowingness, are generally not learned people. They don't have degrees. They are the degree of intelligence because they have come into virtue. The reason you are so unhappy at the core of your being is because you have not lived virtue. You have not discovered your goodness. This is something you must discover. And when your ego or your vanity or your pride starts to fight this goodness and make it a problem, that is when there are issues that will come up. Because here is the truth. When I go against love, when I move against the virtue of my heart, I miss, and I cause myself to live in consequence, not in love. There are tremendous consequences for the way I live. If I argue, if I think I'm learned, the more humble I become, the more appreciative of the goodness of my nature. And that will be true with you too. In fact, it is true with you. When you live by the heart, you will find your goodness occurring. Over and over and over again, this great beauty will start to occur. And you will find that it is that which cannot be uttered through words and thoughts. That is the ultimate truth. True words are not words. They are the ebb and flow of love in you. You are that virtue. I'd like to meditate with you. Right now, you and I. Let me give you this from Lhotse. When the wise man hears of the way, he works hard to apply it. When the mediocre person hears of it, he keeps it and loses it all the time. But when the ignorant hear of it, they laugh. They laugh like they have never laughed before. Otherwise, it would not be the way. I say, let's you and I sit together right now.